You go ahead and bow your heads with me in prayer. Dear Father, you are the Holy One, the Righteous One. In you and through you is grace and truth. And so, Father, I pray today that we would experience the great grace and truth to which you want to give to us. Let it not just be something that we hear, but it makes its way and it impacts the way we live. Lord, all of us today need to hear a message today of encouragement, so we can walk out not just with a good feeling, but knowing what the next step is after this. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us your truth. Give us clarity. Give us understanding. You are able to do all of it. We want to glorify the name of Jesus. He is worthy of it all. He is the name above all names. He is the one whom all of our praise belongs to. So today, forever, we give our praise to Jesus. It's in your son's wonderful name is who we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Good to see you guys. For those who may not know, maybe your first time here, my name is Javon. I am the campus pastor here at the church. I'm excited to be with you guys today. Hey, we got a lot going on here at our Old Brooklyn campus. The best way to stay up to date, as I say every single week, is the app and, of course, the website. So make sure you're checking out both of them. Those classes that are starting, those prayer walks, man, those are great ways to connect with new people, people that you haven't met yet, and it can be a great blessing in your life. So I definitely encourage you guys to make sure you check out those new groups, those prayer walks, all that is coming up. Well, today we're going to be walking through 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yes, I'm in Corinthians again. I've been loving the book of Corinthians. This is like my, I don't know, third week in a row in Corinthians. I didn't even intentionally meant to start a series. I just, you know, been loving this particular book. And so we're going to be walking through this particular passages. But before we do that, for some of you who have toddlers or have had toddlers or walking into a season of toddlerhood, there's one thing that we all know that we must do. Now, I want to speak to those who don't have children, who aspire to have children one day. So let me hook you right on them. Let me get a little bit of my knowledge, if I could. There's one thing that you must do when you go to the grocery store with toddlers, even though that's, number one, the bad thing to do. But when you go to the grocery store with toddlers, there's one thing you got to do. You must avoid the toy aisle and the candy aisle. Can I get an amen from parents with yes? Am I right? Yes, Noel, am I right? Do not go. If they see an ounce of Spider-Man, Miles Morales, it's just bad. If they see that little brown packet that says Hershey's on it, nope, it's not bad. The other day I went to Target. Now, what I try to do is I try to go to different stores so they don't know those aisles. Because if I keep going to the same stores, my son's gonna be like, turn left. Turn right. I'm gonna be like, bro, I know where you're going. Stop that. Stop that right now. And so we went to the store, and you know, and I'm trying to find what I came there for. And of course, my dumb behind went right past the toy aisle. And they're like, Daddy, stop! Stop! I'm like, what happened? What's going on? He says, Batman. I'm like, no, bro. No, man, we ain't come here for all that. I just came here to get some cough medicine. You're not feeling good. That's all we came to do, right? My sons, let's just be honest. Let's call it what it is. They have a weakness, right? And their weakness is sugar and Batman and Spider-Man, the DC and the Marvel Universe. They got weaknesses all over. And as soon as they see it, man, they just feel so, so controlled by it. But I thought about this idea. You know, we all have weaknesses, right? We all have weaknesses. And let me say this in a different way. We all have things that we typically give into more than we would like, right? We all have things that control us. We all have things that we don't want to do, but we end up doing them, right? And we've done it before, and we don't want to do it again, but we end up doing it again, right? We know it's not good for us. Listen, My wife bought nothing bunk cakes for me last week for my birthday. Oh, Lord. It was just, I believe at the Lord's Supper, they were having nothing bunk cakes. That's what I, am I right, Jalen? And Jesus says, this is my body. Nothing bunk cakes. And listen, I see it and I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to do to me? You know, the red velvet, right? I got a sweet tooth. I know it's not good for me, but I do it anyway. I know that I'm going to have to run a little bit hard. I'm going to have to lift a little bit more because I know this isn't good for me. And a lot of us, if we all can just be honest, but all jokes aside, a lot of us can be honest that we all have weaknesses that we tend to give into more than we would like. And pretty much a better way to say it, more of a biblical way to say it, is that we all struggle with temptations. We all struggle with temptations. There are things that have more control over us than we would actually like, and we are constantly giving into those things, knowing that they're not good for us, knowing that hindsight, we can see them and say, that's not good, but for some reason, we end up falling short and falling into them more and more. And over time, you know, these weaknesses and these temptations that we all struggle with, they come at a cost. In the moment, it feels great. Right? Feels great to yell at somebody and tell them how bad they are in the moment, right? To get it off your chest. In the moment, it feels good to get your way, right? But the results, and over time, it begins to deteriorate towards your soul, right? It begins to damage your relationship with Christ. I mean, we know that. Because it damaged the relationship with Christ. It begins to deteriorate again towards our soul. But I would say this, one of the reasons why I think a lot of us are burdened by a lot of our temptations and struggles and weaknesses is because how much it burdens the people we love. Right? How much it burdens the person that's sitting next to you. How much it burdens the person that lives with you. It's the constant giving in, and it's constant falling short. It's the constant this and that, whatever it may be. Well, we're going to learn today, and what the Apostle Paul is going to teach us in 1 Corinthians 10, he's going to teach us this one basic main theme that you and I must consider and what we must do in order to win the war, the gravity war is what I like to call it, because there's always something pulling at you from within, right? What you want to do versus what God wants you to do, right? It's this gravity going back and forth. I want to do this, but God says this is way better for me, but I feel like doing this. My feelings are telling me one thing, and Lord knows I love my feelings. I trust in Jesus, and I trust in my feelings at the same time. My feelings went on the cross and they died for me. You know what I mean? That's how much I trust, right? And we feel this constant gravity going back and forth. But Paul's going to teach us, and what the scriptures commands us, is that God is our trusted source to endure temptations and weaknesses that we face. That God alone, Christ alone, is our trusted source to endure the temptations and the weaknesses that we face. So that's what we're going to study today. And I want you to know that today's message is meant to encourage you not to seek perfection, but to seek more of Jesus, right? I don't want this sermon to be like, oh my gosh, I got to get it together. Because if I don't get it together, man, I'm going to lose it all, right? Right? And there's some merit to maybe what you're thinking and experiencing. But the scripture never tells us to find your sufficiency from self. The scripture actually does the opposite. The scripture says, you are not enough, right? I know we have our songs and I know we have our entertainment that says, you are enough, you are enough. But at the end of the day, you realize you are not enough, right? But we have a Savior who not only saves us, but he's able to sustain us. We have a Savior who not only saves us, but he's able to keep us in perfect strength within him. So that's what we're going to read about today. That's what Paul's going to teach us. So let's go ahead and dive right in. Let's go to verse 11 where we started at. Bring up verse 11 for them. Now, Paul says this, these things happen to them as examples, and they were written down as warnings for us. Let's stop right there. We're reading the book of Corinthians. This is a church that Paul had founded. This is a very problematic church. This is a church that they got some issues. They got some things going on, right? And Paul is addressing a lot of some of their issues in what he is writing to this church. He's addressing a lot of them. He's talking to them, and he wants to use this language from the Old Testament to tie in a present-day truth. He wants to use the past to help highlight what they need to learn in that moment. And even 2,000 years later, even reading this today in the 21st century to a Western mind, that same lesson still applies today. And so Paul, what he does is he uses an Old Testament story to bring a great lesson. What's the Old Testament story? Maybe some of you have heard of it, have read the Bible. You know, at one time, the Israelites, God's people, they were under heavy slavery in Egypt, and God sees it. God is mourned by it. God raises this guy up by the name of Moses, and then he tells Moses, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to save my people. I'm going to save them through you, Moses, and then a guy named Aaron. They go to Pharaoh, who's the most powerful man at the time. They go to him, and God rescues the people from Egypt. He rescues them from Egypt. We all know about it. They crossed over on dry land, and next you know, the people that were chasing after them to bring them back, they were swallowed up in the water. God saved Israel. A lot of people know about that story, but they don't know about the post, what happens after, right? How there was 40 years in the wilderness. And you read about this in the book of Numbers. If you take the time, you read about it. Now, what happens in the wilderness? Now, let's go back. Remember, God saved Israel from slavery. God saved Israel from slavery by raising up Moses to do so, right? It was God who saved them. But Israel still rebelled against him, right? Israel still rebelled against them. You can read all of the stories. I think it's like in Numbers chapter 16 or something like that. Numbers 16, Numbers chapter 25. And we read these stories. And what Paul is trying to say, hey, the people that rebelled against God, the people that fell into sin, the people that fell into their weaknesses, be careful. That's meant to be a lesson so it doesn't happen to you. Anybody have a hard time learning their lesson? Right? This means yes, Pastor. This means yes. If you say no, we'll usher you out. This is a house of sinners, okay? You know? Anybody have a hard time learning their lesson? Right? You know you shouldn't do it. History has proven it's not a great idea. I probably shouldn't tell my wife to hurry up, even though she needs to hurry up. You know what I mean? Like, right, I probably, but history proves itself, but we haven't learned the lesson, right? And that's what Paul wants to say. Paul says that story is meant to show us that we're all bound to fail. We're all bound to fail. We're all bound to walk into our weaknesses. And we must do a couple things. And the first thing he says is in verse 12. Look what he says in verse 12. Verse 12, he says this. Now, if that's a reality, that's the lesson we need to learn from them. He says this in verse 12. So the one who thinks he is standing firm should be careful not to fall. If you have another translation, instead of using the word be careful, some translations like the ESV and I believe the NASB, whatever you have, I believe it says take heed, right? Be careful is translated as take heed. Here's what Paul's trying to say. Here's the meat of the message today. Paul's trying to say, hey, listen, if you're not careful and you don't learn from the past, you're going to fall into the things that you did in the past, and they're going to become present in your everyday life. Here's what you need to do. You need to take heed of your soul. You need to take heed of your soul. What is Paul trying to say? Paul says this word take heed or be careful, it means this. It means someone who has special contemplation of themselves. They live in a constant awareness of the threats from within. Or another way to say it, a more modern way to say it, a more way that a lot of us are going to be able to connect to, be on guard. Be on guard. Not too long ago, I had a buddy who was going to the gym, went to the same gym as I did, and he was working and training to be an amateur boxer, and he was telling me about, like, you know, different ways, you know, to gain muscle, to get stronger and whatnot. So he invited me to his other gym, the gym that he trains for boxing, which was the dumbest idea to invite me to, because I said yes and I got embarrassed pretty bad, right? I have no boxing background, right? I got nothing. Most thing that I've seen is, don't laugh too hard. The most I've seen is on YouTube, Manny Pacquiao and all those other, look, I got nothing. But I go there and I walk in and I went from stretching to, next you know, I'm sparring. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's my first time here. Why am I in the ring with somebody who's been at this for 3 years? And I remember doing it, and the guy was like, you know, 20 pounds less than me. So, you know, I'm thinking, like, I could take him on, right? You know what I mean? I'm like, this little scrub right here, this dude wiped me out, right? And all I kept hearing out of the corner, all I kept hearing from the corner was, keep your guard up. Keep your guard up. Because you're getting beat up. You're getting knocked out, right? Keep your guard up. Keep your guard up. Here's what Paul wants us to do. Paul wants us to realize that you and I must learn this one thing. It's that we have to learn what we are capable of. And we're not just meant to know our weaknesses and struggles, but we're meant to be on guard from our weaknesses and struggles. It's not a matter of saying, well, I have anger issues. No, I'm being on guard from the things that potentially want to make its way out of me. Because we all have something within that wants to make its way out. We all have the dangers of sin that dwell within us that want to come out of us. And Paul says, you must be on guard, right? You must be on guard. How many of us, when we see other people struggling, or we see other people in their weaknesses, how many of us are the first ones to say this? I can't believe they did that. Am I right, Kelly? They did that? Oh, they're horrible people. That's disgusting. You know what we'll say this? I would never do that. I would never do that. Yeah, you won't catch me doing that. You won't ever, ever see me dive deep into that. And what Paul is doing then, and what he needs to do now, and what we need to receive, is he's addressing the spiritual pride that exists within some believers. Because some of us, we'll see a lot of people struggling, and we're the first ones to kind of look at their struggle and kind of puff up and feel good about our own struggle. Right? And we feel good about our struggles by looking at other people's struggles, and we say to ourselves, I would never do that. But lo and behold, we have our own brokennesses and weaknesses and sin and temptations that we have in our own lives, right? Paul is calling us the guarding of the soul. It's calling us to live a life of humility. Because here's the thing, friends, when humility is absent, that's when you're prone to let your guard down. When humility is absent, when you're so used to looking at the people next to you and saying, man, that's disgusting that they did that. I can't believe that. Instead, our response should say, I need grace too. I need grace too. I need the grace of God that they need, I need. Right? Right? The grace of God that they need in their lives, I need in my everyday life. It begins with you and I walking in humility more and more. Because here's what I want you to know, friends. In Christianity, your Christianity is not grow to the point where you don't need Jesus. There's never a time in your life where you're going to become so distant from your weaknesses that you don't need divine Jesus Christ. Right? There's never going to be that moment. You and I have to tap into this reality that without Christ, we are prone to fail. That without Jesus, we are prone to fall and fall hard. And not just fall, but to fall continually. What is Paul doing in this? Paul is saying, listen, you have to search deep within. You have to say to yourself, man, I have these things, that I have these struggles and I have these weaknesses, but thanks be to God that he has given me Christ so that I can find ways from and through the brokenness and weaknesses that I experience. That's what Paul's trying to say, right? Take care so you can look up and find help and say, Christ, I need you. That's what Paul says, right? And so Paul is given warning, but now he's going to move to encouragement. I love this portion. Verse 13 is sweet. Look at verse 13. This is like really, I need to hear this every single day. And I encourage you, just keep that verse up for them, Jalen. I encourage you to just stare at that, read that, pray over that, pray over this verse every single day. This will set you free more and more. Look at what he says in the first part, in verse 13. He says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Here's what Paul says. Paul says this. You're not alone in your struggle. So Paul says. How many of us, we think to ourselves, I'm the only one who has this. Don't we say that? Don't we have this reality that I'm the only one who feels like this? I'm the only one who struggles with it. Now, Paul doesn't say this so that the church gets comfortable with sin or the church gets comfortable with temptation. No, he's saying this for the reality so that you and I, that yes, we have these great brokenness and weaknesses and temptations in our life. He's saying this so that you and I will not condemn and shame ourselves. He's saying it so that you and I, we won't have pity. You know how many times we have a pity party on ourselves? I'm the worst. I'm the worst, right? And we begin to shape these stories that God's not writing. We begin to formulate narratives that God is not the author of. And so Paul's trying to get you and I to understand, listen, every human being in this room, every person watching online, those who are watching at a later date, listen to this. You and I all have a struggle, a temptation we face. Some of us, it's anger, right? Right? And anger isn't always a bad thing, but sometimes it gets to be really, really bad, right? Some of us, our anger is sometimes formulated into revenge. You ever had somebody do you wrong and you want to get back at them? And how do you get back at them? You know how I get back at people? I give them the silent treatment. It's a great technique. You ever tried it before? Or you ever tried this? You ever left them on read in the text messages? You ever did that, Crystal? You never done that before? They said this long, I'm so sorry that I, and you just read it and you don't respond. And then they said, did you get my text? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm just seeing this. Knowing that I saw it like a week before, you know what I mean? Right? Right, the human soul, we want to get back at people that hurt us. Right? Right? Some of our temptations, some of our struggles, you know, it's in more of a, we struggle with lust and with sex. Right? We struggle with pornography. For many of us, we struggle with dishonesty. We don't fabricate the truth. We are very much lying. Right? I just told a little, no, you lied. Right? Call it what it is. Right? Right? You lied. For whatever reason it may be, this is what you did. Some of us, we're tempted to complain a lot. Be very, very negative. Whatever it may be, Paul's trying to say this. Paul's trying to say, you and I need to realize this great truth. And here's how I want to end the message. You and I need to hear this great truth, that you're not alone in it, but you also have one who can save you from it. Right? So don't throw a pity party. Look to Christ for strength. Look to Christ for strength. Look what he says in verse 13. Let's finish it. Verse 13, he says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is, say it with me, faithful. That's what you need to hear today. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Here's what this verse does not mean, because a lot of people take this verse out of context. You ever heard people say, God won't give you more than you can handle? That is unbiblical, extremely unbiblical. Look at the book, look at Job. Look at Job. Look at Paul. My man Paul was in prison, got his behind whipped, beat up a lot. Pretty sure that was more than I could ever handle. What does this verse actually mean? What this verse actually means is when he says, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, what he's trying to say is God, he is with you when you're struggling and suffering, and he is with you when you are tempted to fall more and more. So we need to realize this, that the God that we want to be with us in our times of loneliness and our times of pain, he's also with us in our times of shame. He's just not the God of just, all right, I'm hurting, I had this loss in my life, I'm going through this, God, let me experience your presence. That's awesome. But also, he's the God that's there when you're up at night and you're tempted to do something that you know can kill your family. When you're tempted to do something that can kill your soul, he knows that you're when you're tempted to hide the things that you've been struggling, he's with you. He's not just with you in the pain, he's with you in your shame. And he's ready to be the God that gives you a way out. Because there's no one in this world, including yourself, who wants you to win more than God. God wants you to win, right? Let's keep reading. I didn't finish it. Let's keep reading. He says, but when you are tempted, he will provide a way of escape so that you may stand under it. The Lord will deploy his strength to those who depend on him so that they may endure well. Right? The Lord will deploy his strength. God will give his strength to those who depend on him. So what do we do in the moments of temptation? Now, I know not every single time sometimes we're very reactionary. Anybody reactionary people? Right? You're very impulsive. Right? Pretty sure that's all of us in the room. Right? We just, the moment has us, then the moment takes us, and then next you know, we're like, I can't believe I did it again. Can't believe I did that again, right? Right? But I think what Paul helps us to understand, and I believe what God wants us to realize, is that in the moments where we can sense that temptation is beginning to build up, and you can sense that temptation beginning to make its way, what we need to do the most, and this is what I want to give you encouragement this week, invite the Holy Spirit in that moment. Yesterday, I had both my boys by myself again. And that's the part where I want you to feel bad for me, you know. And I want my wife to hear clearly. No. I had both the boys, and, we're out and about. And you guys may have heard my one son, my oldest son, he broke his thumb. I slammed his hand into the door, and it's just been so, like, you know. But, you know, when kids, they get hurt, it's like they break their whole body. You know what I mean? It's like he's, you know, walking around like, Daddy, can you pick me up? Like, bro, you didn't break your legs. Like, what do you mean pick you up? What do you got to pick you up? You know how much I cast away? You want me to pick you up? What are you talking about, right? Daddy, can you feed me? Bro, you left-handed. The right hand is broken, not the left. Like, what are you talking about, right? And I sense myself throughout the day. You ever sense throughout the day your attitude is shifting quickly? Yeah. You ever sense throughout the day how annoyed you're getting? Yeah, right? And then it just gradually, and it's like, you know, it started at 2 o'clock and then at 2:05. No. No. No, but seriously, right? And I remember that moment, and I remember it was very, very, very clear just yesterday. My son, the one who broke his thumb, my oldest, he fell. Hurt his butt, he's crying, and then my two-year-old walks up to me. He, you know, went number two in his diaper, and he says, poo-poo, and I'm like, really, God? But I remember it in that moment, friends, and I want to close with after these 4 points, but I remember in that moment just kind of the Holy Spirit just saying, you're very controlling. Like, okay, this is not the way you want it to be, but that's okay. Right? Because I'm tempted to always want everything to go my way. And I think that's where a lot of us trip and fall the most. We want things to go our way. When our kids aren't acting a certain way, we get so frustrated. When our spouses aren't acting a certain way, we get so frustrated. When our coworker, when all of this, the greatest of temptation lies deep within the depths of our desires. We got to ask the Lord to be at work in our desires, not in our behavior, but to be at work in our desires, right? Not asking God to make me less angry, but asking God to help me to be less controlling, right? Right, and I just remember those moments. But here's a couple of things that we can do as we close for the sake of temptation. Number one, in the midst of your temptation, know that God is faithful and trust that he holds your good. Trust that God holds your good. Listen, trust that God's way is the best way. Right? Right? Trust that God's plan is a better plan. Trust God's idea is way better than the feeling that I'm having at the moment. Choose that God knows what's best for you, right? Choose that God knows what's best for you. Number one, trust that God holds your good. Number two, this is very important. Number two, create boundaries. Hey, some of us, it's not so much of just saying, hey, I have this thing in my life. Some of us, we need to go the extra mile. And it's not a way of not trusting God. It's actually what Romans 13 tells us. When Romans 13 says, make no provision to gratify the flesh along with its desires. Sometimes you got to get ahead of it before you actually face it, right? Some of us, how many of us, you got to put a timer on your phone because you spend so much time scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. Some of us, we gotta get ahead of it. My one buddy who's a pastor in Chicago, he just had a real fall from the church. And, you know, a bunch of pastors and I have been praying over him. And he's very open about it. He's been trying to be very, very helpful in that way. Well, we found out that he had a porn addiction. And so now what he's been trying to do is he says every time he goes to bed, right, he has to put his phone into a safe that his wife only knows the code to. Right? What is he doing in that moment? He's getting ahead of it. Right? Some of us, for us to get ahead of it, it may be going to counseling. Right? It may be doing this next thing. Number three, confess to someone. Confess to one another. The Bible's a big advocate about you and I taking our burdens and taking our brokenness and bringing them to people. Right? I've always said this. Some of the reasons why we keep falling is some of the reasons why we keep struggling is because we keep doing it alone, right? We keep doing it in the dark, right? And sometimes, in order for us to be free from the dark, it's to bring things to light, right? It's to bring things to light, to bring a trusted friend through the prayer and through the Holy Spirit's prompting and bring it to someone and say, hey, man, I want to talk to you about this that's going on in my life. Maybe we need to confess to one another, or maybe this last one, probably the most important one, run to the cross. Run to the cross. Run to the cross. Why do we run to the cross? It's not just Calvary that points us to that the sin and the temptation in which Christ had died for, but we run to the cross because the Bible tells us that Christ was very much like us. That he sympathizes, Hebrews chapter 4, he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. He was without sin. He's very opposite of us. But he knows what it's like to be us. He knows what it's like to be us, and we run to the cross, and we ask Christ to give us what we need in the moments we need it the most. Run to the cross. Don't tell yourself, Javon, you got to do better. No, I need Christ more. I need more of Christ. It's not, hey, I got to stop yelling at people. No, I got to go to the cross. I had to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and now is seated at the right hand of God. We run to the cross and we say, Jesus, you are the sufficient one in the midst of my struggle. Let's pray. Dear God, I love you and I thank you for the very reality that you are not just a savior, you are also our sustainer. And Father, I pray that we would come to Christ more and more for the sake of preserving and maturing our souls so that we may be free from the temptation and the sin that wants to rob our joy and peace in our lives. I pray that we would humbly come before you and say, Lord, here I am, a broken human being, a man and woman of much sin. But where my sin increased, your grace abounded all the more. So here I am, Lord. I'm not here to try to minimize or justify my weaknesses. What I'm here to do is say, create in me a clean heart. Give me a willing spirit. Sustain me by your Holy Spirit. Take not your presence from me. Restore me, renew me in a very special way. Lord, I'm here to realize that I understand more and more I need you. Because temptation does one thing, Father. It reminds me what I am, but it also reminds me who I need. Temptation is a great reminder of what I'm not, but also was a great reminder of what you are, a great Savior. So help me and bless us. It's in your perfect Son's name is who we pray. Amen.